This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson.
Bill Peduto is the mayor of Pittsburgh. He joins me now on the line from Pittsburgh. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Ben.
So a lot of people are a little bit surprised to find that Uber was placing self-driving cars not in San Francisco or Seattle or New York or Boston, but Pittsburgh. So tell me about the conversations you had with Uber before this all happened.
I guess the first conversation was about 18 months ago with their CEO, and Travis Kalanick was asked, where do you see Uber growing in the next decade? And his response back then was China, India, and Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh was chosen because really 30 years we've been leading in robotics. Back in 1979, when the steel industry collapsed, Carnegie Mellon University created the first robotics program in the world. By the 80s, we had the first PhD program, and people were flocking here. At the same time, artificial intelligence was taking off on the campus, and companies were locating here. And over the course of 30 years, CMU has really been at the forefront. Back in 94, they drove a car from Pittsburgh to D.C. and back without the driver having to use the wheel. And in 2007, they drove a vehicle from L.A. to New York, winning a DARPA challenge. So Uber saw the talent that was here, saw the topographical nature of the city, and saw the willingness of the government and others to work with them.
What made you confident that the cars could operate safely in real-life situations? I mean, I know they've been getting in some scrapes there. Are you worried about that?
Well, they're going to be accidents. I mean, that's a given. There's over 1.2 million people every year that are killed by automobile-related accidents, and the majority of them are human error that cause it. There will be accidents. Some will be human-involved. Some may be sensor-involved. But whether or not that's the case, the advancements that have happened since 2007, since the DARPA challenge, have been so great. Think about it. There wasn't even an iPhone back then. iPhone was just coming out that year. And we have been doing a pilot program with Uber for 6 months and involving Pittsburgh police in it as well, and monitoring their progress over the past 6 months before full implementation where they can actually pick up riders.
Sure. And I mean, what would you say to folks who might be concerned about what the cars would do in a really tough decision situation?
Well, number one, there is a person behind the wheel. So at all times, the person has the ability to take over manual control. Number two, there's a person sitting next to them, an engineer who's monitoring every sensor that the vehicle has and watching the driver themselves. And then number three, the technology itself is already being implemented in cars. All these TV ads you see that keep you in your lane, park your car for you, automatically hit the brakes. That's the sensor detection that's already available in vehicles. This just takes it to the next level. But even at that same level, there's a human involved at every step.
And you've been up close to these things, obviously. So you think that that human behind the wheel will be able to react in the right amount of time in a dicey situation on the road?
Yeah, you actually have a tablet in the back seat, and you can watch at all times to see who is driving the vehicle, whether the car is driving the vehicle or the person is driving the vehicle. Huh. You can see the sensors and see what the car is seeing, and you have the ability to basically communicate directly with them and so it's, you know, here's where we're going. It's the beginning of a paradigm shift in urban mobility. This isn't a trend. This is going to basically completely revolutionize urban mobility over the next 20 years. The sensors in the cars will be able to create a more safe environment. They'll know the car in front of you, how fast it's going, what the safe distance is. Then those sensors will be able to talk to each other, almost like Waze, and knowing where you're going and where the other cars are going. Then those sensors will be able to talk to the traffic signals, so that not only will they be using cameras and sensors to see how far traffic is queuing and creating algorithms through artificial intelligence to make it a much more efficient and safe system, but they'll also be able to cue people into caravans and be able to make traffic flow much better. We're there. So in Pittsburgh, we have autonomous vehicles on our streets. You can use your Uber app and ride in it. But we're also building out the world's smartest traffic signal grid. And over the next 5 years, those two things will merge. So the world is moving towards shared electric and autonomous vehicles. And will there be some accidents in the way? Sure. Was there with aviation? Yes. Was there with the start of the automobile? Yes. But regulation came decades after the innovation began.
So what about the folks in Pittsburgh who will be there present at those accidents? How will the city take care of them?
Well, we've been working with our assistant police chief so that as this process is going on, it's going to be as safe as possible. But at the same time, we recognize there will be accidents that will occur. The one thing about these vehicles is they have sensors all over them and cameras all over them. So we'll be able to actually get more information from an accident involved with an autonomous vehicle than we can with any vehicle that is driven by a person. And they'll be investigated in exactly the same way as a accident would be investigated if it involved two people.
So, Bill, what about the actual people in the accidents? I mean, those folks are in a situation that maybe they didn't ask for in certain scenarios, right?
Yeah, I can understand the question. If somebody is involved and there was an error done by a sensor and they were put in harm's way, is that fair to them? I would try to explain it and really argue it in a sense. The data that has come out with the number of miles where autonomous vehicles have been driven, which is in the millions, is a small percentage of error compared to the error that happens with a human being. So if you're driving down the street and somebody is texting somebody and they run right into the back of you, there is less of a likelihood that a vehicle with sensor detection would do the same thing. So will there be errors? Yes. But to assume that something would be 100% fail-safe, that there would be no error whatsoever, we would never have cured polio. We would never have been able to go to the moon. We would never have been able to advance whatsoever. So there is a risk factor that is involved, but the progress of man for almost everything has been based upon that risk.
You've said that it's, quote, not our role to throw up regulations or limit companies like Uber, end quote. But you're a career government official, right? So you don't think part of the government's job is to protect citizens from negative impact or potential negative impact of new tech?
I'm probably one of the starting lefties in Western Pennsylvania politics. So I'm not only a career politician, I'm a proud progressive. I also understand that there is ways that technology and innovation can help to revolutionize the world. And for me to try to think of ways to be able to make it fail-safe would not stop the technology or innovation from happening. It would just assure that it would happen in places like Singapore or Gothenburg, Sweden, or somewhere else. Now, I'm 52. My entire life, I watched my city shrink. I watched my friends leave. I watched my family leave. I've never seen my city grow. And now Pittsburgh is starting to grow. And the last time that a company came here and said, we're going to employ 1,000 people and invest $1 billion was never in my lifetime. And the fact that they're not asking for a dollar government subsidy, but just a willingness for government to partner with them to be able to create this new industry, if I were to say no, it would simply be that San Francisco or somebody else would have said yes. And this is where the world is going. And there will be regulations, but the regulations need to be more hand in hand than at the very beginning in stifling what could potentially be a game changer when it comes to urban mobility.
Pittsburgh has this long history of manufacturing, and obviously you're close to it. It's got the nickname Steel City, of course, but many of those traditional jobs, as you mentioned, have gone away. How do you think the city is going to find a place for those workers in manufacturing? Are they going to move into the tech industry? I mean, 20 years from now, there's certainly not going to be Uber drivers, right? Because the cars will be driving themselves.
Well, there's a couple things with that. Number one, it's already started. We have great partnerships. Carnegie Mellon has a program with our sheet metal workers so that as we're creating all the different fields of robotics, we have highly skilled individuals that are working with them in order to be able to actually build it. I often say, you know, the difference between Pittsburgh and Silicon Valley is we can both dream it, but we have a history of making it. And Uber's now looking at Detroit and looking at the different ways to be able to expand in manufacturing with this technology there. It's interesting to think that, you know, prior to the Industrial Revolution, 62% of Americans worked on a farm. I mean, that was our economy, and today it's around 2%. But that doesn't mean we have 60% unemployment. The economy shifts, and people shift with it. I think that what you'll see is, yes, there will be some pinch points. But if there was ever a city to show the example of not planning for the future, it would be Pittsburgh. When the steel industry collapsed in 1979, about 4 years later, we were at 19% unemployment. We didn't plan to fail. We failed to plan. And that is probably the lesson to be learned. The world is going in this direction, not just the United States. And the shared autonomous and electrical vehicles will become the norm over the course of the next several decades. And we have the opportunity to shift and to train and to create new jobs and industries within it. Pittsburgh right now is at the forefront of robotics, not just with self-driving cars, but with tiny little micro monitors that are able to walk on your heart during open heart surgery to be able to make sure that you're healthy, to major industrial robotic uses that make the transfer of goods easier. We are at the cutting edge of this. What we want to be able to do is create an economy for all so everyone can be a part. And yes, steel built Pittsburgh, but it was innovation. It was the Bessemer process that made Pittsburgh the home of a global home of the steel industry. It was George Westinghouse creating the air brake that transformed transportation by train. We built all the steamboats for this country. We created the modern highway system. Pittsburgh has been at the forefront of innovation and transportation for over 200 years.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. You built an app to make local government work better. If you could wave a magic wand, what tech tool would you love to create for how your government functions at any level?
I would make it mobile, so it would be in an app form. It would put the power of city government into the hands of the people so that anything that would be needed or be able to be utilized could be there, from getting a permit to be able to have a park shelter to being able to build an apartment complex. It would be...
I'm waiting for the DMV app.
That might come a little later. it would be able to be as easy to use as your fantasy football app and changing your wide receiver. And it would be just the power of information given directly to the people in the palm of their hand. All these data sets that are now being utilized, all this information that's now flowing... Government is, by the most part, risk averse, but entrepreneurs are the opposite. And if you start giving them that information, I think you're going to start to see amazing things happen in how we deliver services. Government is basically a social service agency. That's what we do. And if we share that information with those that are more on the entrepreneurial side and think people who think outside the box, I think it's going to be limitless. It's a great time to be involved in local government, by the way, with the IoT happening and all these other things. It's sort of a transformational time period, and you may see it in a driverless car, but we see it in everything that's going on.
You're on the city's celebrity hockey team, I hear. Is that true?
Yep.
How is hockey like heading up a city government or dealing with new technology?
You always have to watch behind your head. You always have to worry about who's coming behind you and make sure to have a pretty good position in front of the net and not to get knocked down. No, it's they're both contact
sports. Do you play
sports.
Goalie? What do you play?
No, well, with that team, I play left wing. No pun intended.
Got it.
But it's they're both contact sports. I mean, government is. But I'll tell you this too: there is great teamwork. So mayors across the country are at the cutting edge of government today, and mayors across the world are as well. It's not the shift that's happening at national level or even a state level. It's happening at a local level. And I think that's where this, where does regulation and where does innovation, the question of where do they meet? Because you can't have one without the other, right? It can't be all innovation without regulation, but at the same time, you don't want regulation to stifle. And it's much easier to do it at a local level where the scale is much easier to implement than at a national or a state level. So I would say that teamwork as well. We learn from each other, mayors from around the country and around the world.
We can hope. Bill Peduto, he is the mayor of Pittsburgh. Bill, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you, Ben.